Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line, Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. And what? Go ahead. You know what? This has already gone off the rails right now. We're heading into Christmas weekend here. I tried to bring a little Christmas joy with this sweater, but
you're
Cliff
screwed.
Is flagging me down right now. What, Cliff? What
I
is
just
so want to
address
here?
The elephant in the room here. There's some serious beef during the break. Y'all two got to resolve this right now. Like, we can't go on with the show with you two beefing like this. This was bad.
All right.
This
let me set the table on this one
you
right now.
You better do it right.
All right. I'm going to state the facts of this situation, and I'm going to let y'all decide what's going on here, because we got plenty of time to get to the very broken Pittsburgh Steelers right now, who lost to the Bengals on Monday Night Football, which is a real thing that we're saying in 2020 about a team that started the season 11-0. So while we're sitting here in studio, I'm looking up on the TV screen, and Kendra walks into the studio with us here, and she said, oh, Notre Dame's playing right now, the men's hoops team, and they're losing to somebody. And I said, yeah, you know, we're not very good this year. And Jhené makes some smart little comment during the break talking about when are we ever good, as if the Stanford's men basketball team was anything to write home about. And we got into a very heated, spirited debate about the prowess of the Notre Dame and Stanford men's basketball teams, which really isn't much of a debate because Stanford's men's hoops has not accomplished much of note in the last two decades as opposed to their Fighting Irish counterparts.
Walk it back. First of all, I think Notre Dame is a great basketball program. I'm just saying that I feel like Stanford men's basketball, especially this season with the waves they've made this so far, this year they played UNC pretty well. They had some energy, beat Alabama. You know, they've had some good games so far this season, so put some respect on their name. They got someone that was just recently drafted. And then when we think about the last few years, because I would love to see the resumes up side by side, we can run the receipts. Last time we ran the receipts, your girl came correct with her personal stats. So you're coming from my brothers here, from another mother. But like, this is a team that won the NIT. I remember that was a big deal. And then they finally made it to the Sweet 16.
We're not giving people credit for winning the NIT,
yes,
like it's something
like
real
like
to get excited
about.
In the
top of the NIT, something like that. That's how they learned how to win. They had Dwight Powell, Anthony Brown, Chasen Randall, a number of top players that potentially made it to the NBA. Dwight's currently with the Mavericks. We have the Lopi, the Lopez brothers. You know, Stanford men's basketball is legit.
Oh,
and most recently, they've been to the Sweet 16. They've faced against top schools and teams. I don't know what your school has been doing.
They haven't even made the tournament since 2014.
First of all, that was the year I left, so that's my frame of reference.
That was the year they made the Sweet 16, which is cool. That's cute and all. 2014, the last time they made the Sweet 16.
Okay, when did y'all make the Sweet 16 last?
The Notre Dame made the Sweet 16 in back-to-back years. Nay, the Elite Eight in back-to-back years in 2015 and 2016. Word to Pat Connaughton. What's
oh, that
up?
Happened?
Oh, yeah, that happened in back-to-back years, and we made the tournament in 2017. You guys haven't made the tournament since 2014, and you hadn't made the tournament since 2008, so I'm just wondering where you've been.
See, my thing is, where I've been is I was on campus, and I was putting in that work, and I was getting drafted, and my guys were getting drafted to the league as well. Shout out to Pat Connaughton, but also shout out to Dwight Powell, Anthony Brown, Josh Eustace, and the Lopez brothers who really set the foundation. Landry Fields, there's a number of guys that I can speak.
The Lopez brothers who no one even distinguishes between them?
Who
we just called them the
quietly?
Lopi?
The Lopi? Okay.
You got Ah Lopez, let alone Many Lopez.
All right, Notre Dame, your basketball team is legit, but I'm just saying Stanford men's basketball also puts out energy, and I don't think we settled anything here. Cliff, why did you bring this up?
Listen, I just wanted to see y'all keep beefing. I love this. I love it. I love
see,
it. Keep it going.
I love it, Tiss. It's incredible.
Dang it. You guys really went to the Elite Eight?
Like, I wasn't going to bring that up if I had a losing hand, all right? I've had to deal with enough losses around here. I saw what you guys did to me after that ACC championship game this last weekend. So, Jhené, I will propose this blindly right now because I know the Notre Dame men's hoops team has not had a great start to the year so far, but I believe in Mike Bray and that outfit in Notre Dame. So we'll figure out over the holiday break some friendly wagers surrounding this season, the NCAA tournament, who or what might go further in that, and we'll figure out who gets to pay up with that, all right?
I'm here for that.
We have found the first legitimate thing away outside of criticizing Sinead's own jump shot the way we did and made a mistake one time that has actually made her mad during the break right now.
Come for my people. Yeah. I'll go off.
This is the best. Jhené Angola Jr. is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. And I hope our bosses were ready for a full segment of Notre Dame versus Stanford's men's basketball because, buddy, they got it. To break that up. and to give him a smoke screen, here's Ben Roethlisberger, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, talking about if he feels like he's 100% going into the game last night.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
You see how charged up we are? We forgot what segments we're supposed to do right now. Yeah, we're jamming
you,
a week's worth of ads in 2 days.
You got the keys to the car.
About to say, who's we?
Oh, really, Cliff? You're just going to throw us under the bus? And by the way, you were ready. I'm going to give you some props because you had that like rap battle going, the freestyle battle ready to go with all the sounds. It was verses.
It was verses on here. The verses that worked out poorly was the one in Monday Night Football, though. The Bengals took down the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger has been drawing the lion's share of the criticism. Thank you. Thank you. You're far too kind. I will say this, though. Dan Orlovsky was just on with us 10 minutes ago, former NFL quarterback, our ESPN NFL analyst, and said he's surprised why people are throwing this all at the feet of Ben Roethlisberger. But here was Big Ben talking about how he feels at this point, whether or not he's 100% down the stretch of the season.
I don't think anybody that plays this game at any level, at any position, I should say, whether it's week one or week 16, feels 100%. So, no, I would say that I don't feel 100%, but I would say that I'm not consistent enough, which affects the offense because the ball's in my hand every play.
Now, Chiney, this becomes interesting because you're right. The ball's in his hand every play, but he's not had much protection. You brought up before earlier, Chiney, the stats on how quickly the ball's coming out of Ben Roethlisberger's hands. When he was playing point guard earlier in the season, it was working, but now teams have come up. Teams have challenged them closer to the line of scrimmage. Ben's had to hold it longer. And the protection's just not there. And so going down the stretch of the season, Chiney, Pittsburgh is 11-3. Right behind them are the Cleveland Browns sitting at 10-4. They play week 17 in a game that now looks like it could be one that decides the fate of this division. Chiney, who are you buying down the stretch of the season here as they have to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Colts, and then on the road against the Cleveland Browns?
I think the AFC is really fascinating because we just celebrated in the top five the Buffalo Bills being able to win their division in the AFC East, and now the Kansas City Chiefs are sitting pretty at 13-1. And so now looking at the rest, as you mentioned, Pittsburgh at 11-3, while they might be 11-3, and that's nice to have a nice little buffer zone from how they played starting the season undefeated 9-0, it is unfortunate that they sort of now have lost a lot of trust. And the crazy thing is, going into the season, I don't know how much trust I had in Baker Mayfield, especially after OBJ went down. So now I feel like we're in a position where they're finally getting that running game going between Hunt and Chubb. And now that you're finding, your receivers on the outside, things look like things are finally stable and they are supported by a defense. So I look at it twofold. Do you have that stability offensively, but do you have a defense that shows up? And looking at the Browns, I feel pretty good about them. The Titans, I sort of have trust issues just because on some games they perform big and some games they don't show up. The Colts, we're trying to figure out how much they do have when it comes to the weapons offensively as well, because we know that defense is there. But overall, the team I feel the best about in that second tier outside of, the Chiefs and the Bills and even possibly the Steelers, are actually the Cleveland Browns, and I never thought I would be saying this a couple weeks ago. How about you?
Chiney, I think the Browns are going to win this division. Mm. I mean, the Browns are on the road against the Jets, who we saw just get a win, and we know that defense has been playing better as of late. There are all these reasons to not buy, but when you look at the trajectory and what's affecting these teams right now, Cleveland has been much more consistent as of late. Their formula for winning is on more solid ground. They're less injured than the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are going to face, and I heard this morning, KJ and Z, with the Cornettes filling in on this. Jordan Cornette mentioned, you got a Pittsburgh Steelers team that's had some untimely 3 turnovers in the last game against a Indianapolis Colts defense that lives to take the ball away from other groups in here. And all of a sudden, you could be riding into now week 17 that decides the division. In 2020, it would be only right, in one of the craziest years of record, that the Cleveland freaking Browns come out and win the AFC North. Somehow in all of this.
Crazier things have happened, okay? This year, crazier things have happened. But I would like to say before we wrap things up that you were right, okay? Notre Dame might have had more success in Stanford women's... why do I keep Stanford women? Stanford women's basketball. From Stanford basketball... They've had more success than my men's team at Stanford. I might say that, but right now I feel like we got kind of the energy and the sauce, but I will defer to you when it comes to the postseason stuff.
Ooh, all right. You know what? Interesting. I appreciate that. A spirited debate around here about men's hoops. Nothing wrong with that as we're getting further and further into college basketball season. But coming up, Chiney, I want to lean into two things that we love around here, the upcoming NBA season and Christmas movies, and try and find the intersection of the two. Which Christmas movie best describes some of the NBA teams we're getting ready to see tip off tonight? We'll do that next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Wishing everybody a happy holiday season, a very merry upcoming Christmas from the crew here at Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests are going to join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We got a lot in the works tonight. The season finale of The Bachelorette is going down on ABC tonight. That two-part finale.
Tayshia!
Finishing up. Tayshia in the building right now. Got a big-time decision to make. No spoilers out here. Just everybody enjoy being along for the ride. As we get ready to the upcoming Matt James season two, which is going to be stellar here. I can't wait for The Bachelor, but I digress.
Jhené, wait, don't digress yet.
Okay.
If you were a contestant on The Bachelorette, how would you do your initial entrance out of the limo?
My initial entrance out of the limo would probably, like, they would probably make me lean into, like, the former football player bit, Jhené, like, maybe a helmet or something, get down there, split my pants to be funny, getting down into a stance. People
don't
like
do that.
Funny.
No, we got to work on this. No.
Ladies like funny, Jhené. That's what I heard.
I do, but also, like, smooth. Like, come on. You got to be a little smooth. Slitting your pants is not smooth.
But, like, girls wear, like, dresses with the slit in all the time, and everybody likes that.
Yeah, that's a different energy, though.
So, Jhené, what I will say is no part of the, and I hate this word, but no part of my brand has ever been smooth. And so I feel like I'm not going to go on the show and lie just to kick it. That is not who I want to be.
You're right. Make her laugh. That's a good one.
That's my only strategy. I can't be as smooth as all these guys that you're going to see on that. There's too many six-packs out there for me to compete
You can change
with.
Your voice.
Baby, lock them doors and turn.
Come on now.
Baby, lock them doors and turn the... So we'll try and get that level of smooth going towards The Bachelorette tonight for that finale. But, Jhené, we've also got bowl games all around. I'm pumped. I'm going to be on the call for the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl tomorrow on that one. Very much looking forward to that. But we got the NBA tipping off tonight, Jhené. Now, you've been chomping at the bit for this. We've been doing your NBA preseason awards. You've been very excited for all of this. And so I'm just curious, Jhené, tonight as we tip off right now, we got Nets. We got Golden State coming to visit them. I just saw Kevin Durant taking a look at Steph Curry's cornrows, really enjoying those right now. But I'm curious, Jhené. It's the holiday season.
Okay.
We know what goes along with that. I haven't watched nearly enough Christmas movies this year. And so
I watched one.
I asked, which one did you watch?
Christmas Unwrapped on Lifetime.
All right, there we go. A Lifetime Christmas movie, a staple of the holiday season. Everyone's got to fall into at least one Lifetime Christmas movie, or you haven't really gotten ready for the season. But Jhené, you have talked about here all the time your love for The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Christmas classic.
Yes.
Do you have an NBA team that movie reminds you the most of? Because we asked people on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Jhené and at Mike Golic Jr., what Christmas movie best describes your favorite NBA team? So do you have an NBA team that best fits your favorite Christmas movie?
It was easy. For the Houston Rockets, it was The Grinch, just because we have someone that might actually be sort of the personality of The Grinch. Basically not wanting to be there and sort of making everyone's Christmas a little more hectic.
That would be James Harden, and I agree. James Harden could play the role of the Grinch this Christmas. Oh, I got more on this one. So, Jhené, how about this? For the Clippers, I went with Home Alone. Not because I think they're a championship-caliber team, but they're a movie and a team that everyone else thinks is, like, the best that I think is just very good.
That's hilarious. Home Alone is the best. It's great. Like, if it's not The Grinch, it might be Home Alone for me. I feel like maybe you're just Scrooge, literally, because you're like, is this movie good or really? When it comes to the Clippers, and
Home,
you are
Home
Scrooge,
Alone, is it an overrated
it
Christmas
is,
movie?
No, it is not overrated. No, you just probably were mad that
it's
you were
the
able
In-N-Out
to do
burger
which one to
of
do.
Christmas movies.
No, not at all. No. Home Alone is a solid Christmas movie, and I would like to say that the Clippers, this actually makes sense because it feels like sometimes they are home alone. Like, they are on islands by themselves because they have all the talent, they have all the makings, and unfortunately, the best time of the season, they sort of didn't show up, and so they're having to fend for themselves. So I totally get this energy because that was the playoffs last year, a lot of expectation, and then now they're playing defense, and now that was, you know, Macaulay Culkin. And so, yes, that was a classic. Everyone, get in his mentions, Home Alone. I don't know why I always look into the microphone when I'm speaking to the people.
Home Alone.
Home Alone, at Mike Golic Jr., at Jhené, Chiney. Was that a good Christmas movie? I have to know your answers because I feel like you're going to get ratioed. Yeah. But do you have any other movies out there.
And I got no problem living my truth while everyone else here lives in fear of the mighty Christmas mob coming at you for wanting to like a movie that you don't need to love in all of this. Let the truth set you free. How about this, Janae? Right across the pond for them, I'll say the Lakers are a Christmas carol. They're a classic. They're going to be a part of your Christmas, whether you want it to or not, because it's always been there. It is a franchise. It is a staple. And I feel like LeBron James is so bought into the old head mindset that he's going to demand the place of one of these older movies on here. No questions asked.
Okay, I can agree with you on there. And plus, the Lakers have a lot to look forward to. LeBron James is back. He's resigned. Anthony Davis is back. He's resigned. They've got a lot of Christmas spirit because they've got Christmas bling. Opening night for them will be ring night. And I feel like this is going to be a season where we might see a different version of an MVP, not LeBron James, but the Prince in Anthony Davis.
Now, Cliff, our resident Philadelphia 76ers fan and here, a producer on our show, just got in my ear and said the 76ers, he claimed they were one movie. I'm going to tell you, no, the 76ers are diehard, meaning they are the most controversial pick every year. Everyone looks at the star power involved in those and says, well, they got a couple of superstars. They should be near the top of this conversation when we have all these championship talks, but it's always going to be polarizing when people bring it up, Janae.
Cliff, what did he suggest?
I said the Sixers are Friday after next.
No, my friend. See, that is the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are Friday after next because they are a powerhouse that not enough people bring up when they're talking about the best Christmas movies that people talk about each and every year. I'm talking about globally. I understand, we understand, the initiated, the people that know, and that's the same that can be said about the Miami Heat. The ones who know. The Heat Stan Twitter knows, but everyone else, Chinee, when we've had these conversations, has conspicuously left the Heat out of them.
Yeah, and I feel like the Heat, they are Friday after next because every day in South Beach is pretty much a Friday. All right, let's be real here. The sun's out. It's still nice down there. It's sort of the same vibes I get in L.A. And I feel like, you know, especially this year, they're not going to slack. It's not like they're going to ever get fired on a day off. So
that is very, very true.
That might be just Friday, though. That's not after next.
You know what? That might be just Friday, but we're going to keep rolling with this one right now. We will read a couple of answers from Twitter at Chinee and at Mike Golic Jr. on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed coming up here. But 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020, a standalone audio documentary that tells the story of the day the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for many Americans. As told by those who lived the events of that day and built entirely on archival footage with exclusive interviews, including Rudy Gobert and Dr. Anthony Fauci. March 11, 2020 will tell the story of a day that started in one reality and ended in a new one. 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11, 2020. Subscribe and listen now wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up next, we will take some more of the answers of NBA teams that remind you of certain Christmas movies and check in with an NBA vet on the state of the league heading into night one. We'll do that next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. The NBA is back. Tune in tonight as LeBron and the defending champion Lakers host the Clippers. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Janae, we've been asking people on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed all day what Christmas movie reminds them of their favorite NBA team. Matt Varney said, I would posit the Portland Trailblazers are Christmas Vacation, a cult classic. The star just wants things to go smoothly, and it never does. Instead, he gets the Jelly of the Month Club as his reward. And then Mark Nichols tweets in, Magic fan, basically the plot of every new Hallmark movie, because it's the same thing every year with literally no improvement or change ever in the plot.
Oh, man. But it's Happy Days, right? In Lifetime movies?
That is true. You know what? There is joy in Lifetime movies, and there's joy because the NBA season is tipping off tonight. And to help us get ready for tip-off right now, we're delighted to be joined by NBA veteran Jamal Crawford, three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, with us now on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Jamal, how are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well, doing well. We appreciate you giving us some time here today as we get ready to watch the NBA season tip off tonight. And I'm curious for you, as someone who spent time with Brooklyn last season in the Nets, they're getting ready to face the Golden State Warriors. How excited are you? What are you expecting from Kevin Durant after this long hiatus and return from injury tonight?
Yeah, as a fan of the game, I'm expecting Kevin to look like Kevin. I've seen him this summer. Obviously, seeing the preseason games, he looks unbelievable. I think he's one of the rare athletes that can come back and truly not miss a beat. And I'm excited to see how he looks and his rhythm and his flow and see all the guys gelling. And I think it'd be a great game. Good to see Steph back as well.
Very true. Here with Jamal Crawford, three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, here with us on Chiney and Golic Jr. Now, Jamal, Jay Crossover, I'm so excited to have you here. I've been a fan of your game. You've been great, you know, as a cultural figure in the sport, and you are so fresh off the court that I really want to lean into this aspect when it comes to the athletes and the turnaround. Because if you look at the Lakers and the Heat, but, you know, especially with the Lakers and their expectations, 70 or so days between playing in the finals and winning a championship and suiting up again this season, how do you see that affecting players this year, most notably probably the Lakers with LeBron James turning, I think, 36 at the end of this year?
Well, first off, a fan of you as well. But secondly, I think it can cut both ways, right? Because obviously it's not what they plan for, but their body skills to be revved up and ready to go, you know, and then mentally I think it'd be the biggest challenge. Yeah. That high of winning a championship just, you know, a little bit more than 2 months ago, to turn right back around and start all over again. You don't get time to enjoy it, you know, but most of those guys are ready to go. They're professionals. A guy like LeBron James knows his body. He knows what it takes to be at the level he needs to be at. And looking at some of the comments, I'm sure it'll be a constant build-up, something he can build up towards, you know, towards the end of the season. But I'm excited to see him play as well. It's ring night, and it should be a fun night.
Jamal, I'm curious, sticking with LeBron James here, Chiney just mentioned his age in here. We all know what he's chasing right now in this, but you're someone who's been a part of the NBA for two decades now. When you look at the longevity of someone like LeBron James, what goes into that, and how long do you think he can sustain this kind of level of performance at his age?
Well, sacrifice. I mean, LeBron's doing it at the ultimate level, you know, and he's doing it to a point where he's kind of graduated to not just playing against his peers, but playing against history. And he's been that way for a while now. And I think that's what drives him to be, obviously he's already amongst the greatest to ever play, but that could be what's fueling him and what's driving him. And when you do that, you sacrifice to have that kind of longevity at that level. The ice tubs, the massages, the foam rolls, the weight room work, everything you need to be at that level. And then just the mental tenacity and mental toughness to lock in every single night, dude. And for fans, it's like we are watching, you know, even though we're playing and watching at the same time, we admire it and we want to continue to see him go as long as he possibly can.
And you're one of those players here with Jamal Crawford of the NBA on Chiney and Golic Jr. You're one of those players who has had amazing longevity. And we were sort of talking in our break, Jamal, about how many teams you play for and how you've been effective. And we were just kind of curious, do you think you can name every team you played for in consecutive order?
Oh, for sure. That's easy. I had named 18 coaches at halftime, missed of a game. That's easy. If you want me to do it, I can knock that out for sure.
Go for it. Let me hear you.
Chicago, New York, Golden State, Atlanta, Portland, Clippers, Minnesota, Phoenix, Brooklyn.
Oh, did not well miss a beat. That man has a closet full of issue gear that would rival anyone's in the nation here. Jamal Crawford with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Jamal, I'm curious for you. You've been around long enough to see what's gone on and the changes in the league, the way the league has implemented things like the Supermax to try and keep stars in their hometown. But all that being said, were you surprised at all to see Giannis opt to not test free agency next year and sign that max extension with the Bucks?
No, that wasn't surprising for me. To be honest, Giannis kind of strikes me as the old school approach and the old school work ethic and the way he kind of goes about his business. I think for him, you know, his heart is in Milwaukee, obviously, I think, with his family, everybody's set up there. And I think he wants to give another crack. And, you know, hats off to him for doing that in the prime of his career to say, you know what, I like the vision. We won a lot of games. I don't think we're far away. I'll give you guys another 5 years of my best. And you know he's going to be a worker. You know he's going to lead. You know he's going to continue to get better. So you like to see that happen, you know. And I'm interested to see how they play this year. I love Drew Holiday. I think he's one of the more underrated players in the league. So to put him with a guy like Giannis and Chris Middleton, the crew they have, I think it'd be fun to watch.
Yes, I love that. You're right. I've been talking about Drew Holiday, how he's able to play on both ends, and that's going to be great for the Bucks. But I was curious, speaking of, you know, these young stars in the league, who do you sort of have your eye on taking that next step? We mentioned Giannis. Obviously, you played with Book. Devin Booker is going to have a different year, especially with Chris Paul there. And then we've got Luka out there as well that sort of is holding it down in Dallas by himself. Is there a player that you have your eye on, like, whoa, this player can really change their game and change the league this season coming up?
Well, you named a few of them. Ja Morant, I throw in that class as well. You know, to get the Grizzlies in the playoffs, I think he has all the makings to be a superstar in the league for a long time. I think he doesn't play with an agenda. I think he's great to watch. I think Booker will get to the playoffs for the first time in his career as well. You know, so that'd be fun. I think Luka will take the step of being right there as, you know, one of the two finalists for MVP. You know, he's already made the playoffs, but that next step to really just be one of the more dominant players in the league. And then seeing a guy like Kevin and Kai, I'm excited to see how they mesh and how things go to kind of lead their team as well. So a lot of interesting storylines, a lot of good guys to watch, and, you know, it should be a heck of a time, and it all kicks off tonight.
An incredible season of basketball on deck, and as you mentioned, it starts 7 o'clock tonight as the Golden State Warriors visit the Brooklyn Nets. Jamal, we appreciate the time and the insight. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you and yours, and hopefully we will talk to you very soon.
For sure. Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays, you guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year Jamal Crawford with us on the show.
Penn's, he was like, that was way too easy. Y'all told me teams, I can do coaches. Next time I'm going to tell him, like, okay, assistant coaches, all three, all four of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, who was in the second row of the bench for you guys in 2014?
Too great. He's awesome. Love him.
He is incredible. I mean, 20 years at the highest level like that.
And he still can go. That's the crazy part.
I was going to say, he was just with the Nets a bit last year, still a free agent right now, waiting to get signed. So none of us will be shocked when Jamal Crawford ends up on a roster here to go. All right, but coming up next, as we get ready to send everyone off in the good feelings of Christmas right now, it's important to note around this time of year and appreciate the relationships you have in your life, but to also be very clear on where people stand. We will talk to one coach and play you sound from one coach who reminds everybody where they are in their relationship with a certain league. We'll do that next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast. Janae and Golic.
The countdown to college football playoff is brought to you by AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, and secure. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Janae, we are getting everyone ready for the holiday season. There's a lot going on right now. We got the NBA tipping off tonight. We got bowl season rolling along here on ESPN and everyone else. We are bowling so hard right now. And we got the NFL coming down its final stretch here, Janae. It's also coming down the final stretch of 2020. And I know a lot of people are looking and excited to turn the page on this. No one more so than the two of us, because we, like everyone else, are ready to bid by to that last zero in this year.
I'd have to agree. You know, it's been a very unique year, but it did provide one thing. We're together.
That is true. That is true. We can look back, the foundation of this show set in 2020. So for all of us, Chinee, myself included, do want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays right now. Hope everyone is safe. Hope everyone is not too stressed. Like, Chinee, I have been feeling that stress of making sure I've gotten the right people enough things, making sure the gifts are out there, making sure I got things plowed in the driveway, all that stuff. Like, are you good on the Christmas shopping front? Where are you at this right now?
I'm lucky. I've got the big sis that really does all the big gifts, and I just basically tag team and just say, like, oh, it's for both of us. So I'm very lucky on that regard. And, like, my stress has been mitigated just because I'm probably just going to head to the beach, get some fresh air over there, social distance, you know?
You know what? That obviously crass and offensive.
Why don't you mentally pretend I can FaceTime you from there? How about that?
Janae, that only makes it hurt more. Like
Zoom?
Yeah. Stop trying to just drag all of us down here right now. We haven't seen the sun in days out here, weeks at this point. And Janae, you brought up a good point, though. Like, you got your older sister, NECA, to go ahead and do all this stuff. Like, I run into this in this time of year where as Christmas cards are getting sent out and you got to worry about, oh, you got babies that are of your friends' families that you're trying to get cards out and everything for, little gifts out here for, is all my buddies got the benefit of having wives to help them. Having a significant other around this time of year is the biggest bailout for so many people, and it is the biggest source of stress in my life because I got to remember to do a whole bunch of things that I am not well prepared to do on my own.
We figured it out, ladies and gentlemen. Play some music. Breaking news. That is exactly why you hate Home Alone, because you don't have a significant other, and you've been the last few, you know, years.
I'm sorry. No,
that was per Cliff.
I would
shout out to
like
Cliff.
90% of Christmas movies if it was just based on my own dissatisfaction with my love life. That is not why Home Alone is just an overrated movie, all right? It has nothing to do with that.
I think it has everything to do with that. But it's okay.
You know what? I am going to take solace in the fact that I just saw, with 9 seconds remaining in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, a tradition unlike any other, an energy unlike any other, a head coach being doused in the winning team by a Gatorade container full of French fries. We love that energy. We keep this same energy going forward. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Now, Chiney, that's some great energy in bowl season right now. In college football season, it's been a very different season. It's been a season unlike any other. So much so that it brought us the energy of Notre Dame football playing in a conference for the first time in the program's history. Notre Dame and the ACC linked up this year. Notre Dame was a part of the most watched ACC championship game in the conference's history this past weekend. And Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly was on ESPN Radio earlier today and was asked about how he enjoyed their stay, their run in the ACC this season. Here was what Notre Dame's head football coach had to say about Notre Dame and the future of this conference.
For us, it was really a great dynamic because we knew what we were getting each week. You know, from a film study standpoint, as an independent, you're usually playing new coordinators, new defensive structures. It's something new, a new opponent. To have some continuity in terms of who we were seeing each week was a little bit different and enjoyable. But we still love the ability to go to the West Coast. Obviously, to have the ability to play in different stadiums and different venues has been who we are as an independent. This was a great opportunity for us. We're so grateful to Commissioner Swofford for giving us this opportunity in the ACC. We're going to be friends forever. But I think that's just about all we're going to be.
Oh, baby, you got,
you
what,
got
I
what I need.
But the ACC is a friend. And that's it,
say,
and that's
I'm
all.
I'm just a friend. Oh, baby, you. Wow, that's talk about the friend zone, hardcore. That, I was thinking about it the whole time. He's like, you know what? We're going to be one and done here. We did our business. We're going to get out.
Really,
that was cute, though.
He really did encompass almost every Chiney and Golic Jr. paid segment that we can do around here.
Yes.
In one. It was one and done. They put the ACC in the friend zone on this one. Chiney, like you said,
as millennials, one of the greatest triumphs in life is watching someone make it out of the friend zone.
You're hoping, wishing.
You're strategizing.
And that's what we're going to try and do here this weekend. We want to get everyone ready for this weekend in the NFL.
End zone. Or friend zone.
Let you know who's going to end up in the friend zone or the end zone when it comes to this NFL Sunday.
Friend zone.
Hey, you say, well, we might as well get it all in now. Get everything out
all
now.
The way in the friend zone, ACC. Wow, that's
again,
cute.
We enjoy and appreciate everything that happened this year. I know ACC fans are going to say, well, Clemson kicked your guys, but all right, that's fine. Make it up for it in the college football playoff. We got that to look forward to on the horizon.
May the odds ever be in your favor. That's the Hunger Games.
By the way,
pray your Katniss.
Speaking of keeping that same energy, Adam Rittenberg, our ESPN college football reporter, tweeted this out. Obviously, this one. Source, Auburn is getting ready to hire Boise State's Brian Harsin as its next head coach. Yahoo first reported. This ends a wild and winding search, but Brian Harsin is headed to the Plains, and he followed up saying, obviously a lot of names have been rumored for Austin, but sources tell me Harsin was a top target for the school from the very start. Chiney, it is Lion season out here. It is the, oh no, I wanted this person all along as our head coach. What are you talking about, season?
Speaking of the Hunger Games and the poaching that's going on. I feel like it's Christmas, but like, dang, people out here cutthroat. Let's go.
While we're college footballing right now, everyone make sure you check out the RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl tomorrow. Myself, Matt Berry, and Dawn Davenport going to be on the call for that one. Very much looking forward to
let's
bowl
go. I'll tune in
out here tonight. Appreciate that.
Okay, look, we've been great these last 2 days, and I feel like get all of your Christmas takes off. Tell me how you really feel. Give me your energy.
All right, listen, I just want to make it abundantly clear. I said it. Home Alone is the In-N-Out Burger of Christmas movies here. It's great.
No.
It's fine on occasion, but wildly overrated.
Home Alone is great. I would say it's in the top three. I've got The Grinch, and I've got Home Alone, and then you can put whatever one you like in third.
I say, listen, we don't need to do this. I don't want to ruin everyone's house. It's fine. If it's fine.
Scrooge.
It's fine for everybody else. I'm glad. I want that for you. Me and the Nightmare Before Christmas are going to be having a great time while you guys watch that overrated movie on this one. But in the meantime, everyone have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Enjoy yourselves and be safe here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.